All right, Minor Talk is live. We're presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. Zay Galindo's in the house. Sal Montes, Eric Reyes, Chris Collins, Inspo Lens live. Bit of a ho-hum start, right? I mean, Liberty wins today, 73-64 against UTEP. Miners hung around. It was Kasim the Dream Watson with a three-pointer. They cut it to 2 points, 66-64, minute 25 to go. Miners give up a bucket on the other end late in the game. It's 68-64. UTEP had the possession under a minute to go, couldn't score, has to foul, and that was the game. I mean, UTEP hung around late in this one. Just not enough. When you're playing Liberty, you got to slay the dragon. You got to slay the beast. Like, this is a squad right here in Liberty that's so good, so disciplined. I mean, there's a reason why they're 14-0 in Conference USA. This was their 16th straight victory. Miners, the one that's going to stick out to me is the fact that that 13-1 run to close out the first half that they gave up to Liberty, Miners had the lead. I mean, let's not forget that. They were up 25-15 here late in the first half. They were rolling. I was thinking, man, is this some of the best basketball we've seen from UTEP basketball all year long in the first half at one point? And then that all evaporated quickly or dissolved quickly. And it was the Flames who rallied late in the first half. They had that 13-1 run. The one that kills you is the Colin Porter pickpocket, score on the other end, and one foul. Like, of course he's going to make the free throw. But stealing it in, like, the final seconds, that was, like, the final 45 seconds of the game, of the first half, that was a killer right there. And it's the same guys over and over. It's the same trio who's done it year in and year out. Zach Cleveland, Colin Porter, Caden Matheny, they get it done against the Miners. Eighth time these two teams have played in less than 2.5 or less than 3 years, I should say. And Miners, after they've taken a couple steps forward, kind of go back, not necessarily square one, Sal, but take a couple steps back after a loss here today against Liberty, 73-64. CUSA refs, we can blame all them all you want, but in reality, Miners couldn't get it done, and they hung in. Give them credit. They hung in, made it a two-point game late in this one, but couldn't do enough to get them over the top and actually win this game.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of a couple of things. I think, number one, Liberty's just that much better. Not only that much better than UTEP, but clearly everybody else in the conference. I think that's number one. They can afford to play poorly and still win a game, right? Liberty's just going to go out there and flex their depth and do what they do. And then as far as the other thing goes, it's just a game of runs, and they didn't have as many runs as Liberty at the same point. They didn't close it out solidly the final couple minutes at the end of the first half. And then even going to the final couple minutes at the end of the second half where they needed those buckets and a couple of stops, they just couldn't get it done. And then the number three, sometimes there's nothing you could do. I mean, right. there was defensive lapses. Don't get me wrong. We saw plenty today. But even when guys were guarding, I mean, Porter was able to make shots. Matheny, even Cleveland, I mean, just able to be the general that he is out there. So all those three things combined, that's going to give you this 9-point loss today.
Our telephone number, 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso X. Our app, 600 ESPN El Paso. We're live on Inspo Lens as well, YouTube, Twitter, and X. Make sure you're checking us out as well. Zay's on the show. Zay, one of the co-hosts here on Minor Talk. Liberty defeats UTEP 73-64. 3,900 fans here today in attendance, Zay. ESPN2 broadcast. Give me your takeaways. Instant reactions after UTEP loses this one.
Yeah, I mean, 9-point loss. It looks a little worse on paper than it really was, right? It went down to that final minute, and that's where Liberty really did pull away. But, yeah, you guys summed it up perfectly. It's not a complete step back, but offensively, they did struggle a little bit too much, right? For what we've seen, especially these past five games, they didn't look good. I mean, they defended at a pretty decent clip. I mean, 73 points against Liberty, you take that, right? You take that, but you're not going to beat the best team in Conference USA and one of the best mid-majors in the country, only scoring 64 points. Like, that's just not going to happen. So, yeah, they just struggled a little bit too much offensively. You know, Jamal West got into foul trouble early. And even when UTEP did take that lead, I mean, they were up 10. They still didn't have enough juice offensively.
if you're going to harp on the identity being West Jr., Watson, and Jones, well, look at today. I mean, Watson, 10 points, 3 of 10. West with 8 points, fouls out, 3 of 8. They were combined 6 of 18. I mean, you need more from those guys every single game. And Jones still had his 15. He still had a really good game on his side, flirted with the double-double with 15 and 8 rebounds. But still, you didn't get enough from West Jr. and Watson to win this game, even though Watson had 10 points.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, KJ Thomas, he did step up in a big way. I mean, he was 6 of 7.
Player of the game, yeah. In the eyes.
You know, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had some big threes. He had a big one late in the game. 14 points. I mean, it's his best offensive performance, I think, ever at UTEP. And even then, right, you're going to need all three of the bigs to step up, and then an extra guard, and then someone off the bench. That's how this team is built, and especially offensively. So you're not going to be able to get it done like that. And I also felt like, just offensively, I felt like the ball stuck. I felt like they didn't move it around enough, you know, and maybe that's just how Liberty plays them. But at the end of the day, 9 assists, I mean, that's a decent amount. But you know, Caleb Blackwell, we saw him 6 assists last game, right? KJ Thomas is able to pitch in some as well today. You know, only 3 assists for Caleb to go along with 3 turnovers and 1 assist for KJ. I mean, those are your 2 primary ball handlers. You want to see a little bit more out of them.
Yeah, a little ho-hum from us to start off Minor Talk here on the program. Now in 5505-6009. Eric, welcoming you onto the program, our spring intern. Your thoughts, your instant reactions. Liberty wins 73-64.
Just frustrating, just the fact that UTEP was playing them very tightly. They were making Liberty take some tough shots. I'm going to counter what Zay said. They played defensively great. They had a great defensive game. They were disrupting Liberty. Matheny basically did nothing this whole game. They took him out of the picture. Zach Cleveland, he did good enough for them. But still, it was just super frustrating, the fact that they almost had it, and then they just couldn't pull it out.
Sal, the funny thing is, it still feels like the rivalry. It's funny how fans really got into it. I threw out a couple videos out there today. You know, Zach Cleveland dancing when the UTEP band was playing in the pregame. There was also a moment when these fans were just heckling Caden Matheny, just like crazy. And Matheny isn't like phased at all. He's just unfazed. But after big plays, when they're going in the huddle, he's out here smiling. Like, he knows secretly. Yeah. But it's like an inside joke. That's what makes this team so good. I kind of laugh and I'm smirking a little bit on this one right here, but this team knows each other so well. Zach Cleveland, Caden yes. Matheny, Colin Porter, and they never break character during the game. They're a villainous group right here. They're a villainous trio. We need like the movie analogy for these three, because they are the villains in the movie, who they do everything in character, and then off camera, then they're kind of smiling with each other like, ha, like, yeah. Great job, man. Great job.
And the crazy thing is, that's what a longevity, you know, brings. All of those guys playing so many games together, they know each other like the back of their hands. And when you're one of the best teams in the conference, as soon as you even get there, forget that, probably the best team in the conference, as soon as you get there, you're like that new kid on the block. Who cares what it's your block now. Your history doesn't matter. This is what matters. So no, credit to them. And I'll go as far as to say this. I think this road trip, This Las Cruces, El Paso road trip for teams, has got to be one of the tougher ones. The same way that we would originally think of like Murfreesboro and Bowling Green, Kentucky, with Western and Middle Tennessee. So that's number one. But I mean, those guys are probably smiling like, finally some life on the road in this conference, right? Last game, Zach Cleveland hits that shot off the glass. It goes in. Immediately looks at the fans. I think it was the student section, and he's waving to them like, bye-bye, bye-bye. It was great. I love that stuff. And I think they got a little bit of that that aggression today from the fans. So they know what they're doing, but it's business first with these guys. They got Coach McKay.
Okay, I got a text, Harry Potter reference, saying that Liberty's kind of like Slytherin, like Malfoy and like all of those guys, you know, and then Malfoy's crew over there is kind of like the Liberty Flames right here. Zay, any thoughts? thoughts on the trio right there? I felt like they were so in sync. I mean, I don't want to talk too highly of them because of what this game really means for a lot of UTEP fans. They don't want to hear any of that. But, I mean, Zach Cleveland fouling out Jamal West Jr. single-handedly late in the game with those two fouls on back-to-back possessions. Zach Cleveland, he didn't do it from the free throw line. He was three of six. He was terrible from the charity stripe. But that's USA's, you know, people argue he's the best player in CUSA. What did you see from him in the trio?
Yeah, I mean, he's not a good shooter. He won't shoot the ball at all. You know, UTEP will play deep down in the paint, and he's just versatile in different ways. First off, like you said, he's a great defender, right? He's a really good defender. And, you know, Jamal, he got some buckets on him, but at the end of the day, you know, he frustrates you defensively, and then offensively, he is like, he's like a point forward, man. Like, he can bring the ball up, he can distribute, he can run the whole offense. And look, these guys have, I mean, the big three, I guess you'd call them, they've been together for like 3 or 4 years. They know each other. You guys talked about it. I mean, they know each other inside out. They're probably friends on and off the court, and you can tell the way that they move the ball, the way that they play in sync, like Sal said. You know, they play good together, you know, and it's a rarity. And I don't want to give all the credit to continuity, because you got to have some good coaching to put that together. But the fact that they play together for so long, that they've been through the ups and downs. I mean, the first year that they were in Conference USA, they weren't that good, you know, and they had some trouble last year before getting on their run. Like, this team has faced adversity, and you got to give them credit. You know, they're the best team in Conference USA without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt. No doubt. Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. 915-505-6009. Bunch of comments coming in. 3,900 in attendance wasn't great. I get it. But, you know, I thought the marketing group did a great job of getting the word out for this one and running promos for it. It's just tough. It's a noon tip-off that kills crowds. I feel like for UTEP fans out there, I talked to so many different people who had, you know, birthday parties or family functions or child games or stuff like that. Sal, it's Valentine's Day.
It's soon. Valentine's Day, yeah. I mean, come on, what do we expect? Remember a couple years ago there was a game on Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah.
People were wondering, how come there's no fans? I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's a Vince Lombardi trophy going on. But right now, Cupid, I mean, he's flying over the world, and that's what people are all about. So I get it. I mean, if basketball is your love, I guess you were at the game. Or if you love headbands, you were at the game. So maybe that's what it was.
David Castro checks in. I think this team is on the right track. All we have to do is get into the tournament and give ourselves a shot. I really like the way that we're playing right now and the spirit this group has. This is from Tristan Pence. And my pal, who I got a chance to chat with after the game. The 13-point run just before the half by Liberty really doomed the Miners. I wish head coach Joe Golding would call timeouts when these types of runs start. KJ played a great game on both sides of the ball. The Miners need to find a way to win 3 out of their next 5 games. Quickly to those net 3 of those 5 games. By the way, they have 3 on the road. And the Miners' next game is going to be against the Aggies, you know, New Mexico State. After that, they've got Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky in back-to-back games. And then they close out the season at home. Kennesaw State, Jacksonville State. Ooh, that's a tough stretch, guys. KenPom has them losing the rest of their games. They're 10-16 right now. That would mean UTEP would finish out the season, what, 10-21? And I don't know if I see that necessarily, like them losing all these games down the road, but this is a tough stretch right here. Aggies on the road, Blue Raiders, then the Hilltoppers. I think if you win one of those 3, it's kind of a success, but you have to close out the season with winning back-to-back to give yourself more momentum going into the tournament. How do you see that, Sal? Is my bar too low? I'm just trying to be realistic about this.
I mean, the way I look at it is like you got to see what you've done against the teams that are beneath you, and they swept one of them. So as it stands, I don't want to say as it stands now, but assuming that UTEP wins more games than Delaware does, they're going to have that upper hand. So for sure, I mean, they have the upper hand not only in conference but overall record. That's what we were harping on, you know, weeks back, like, hey, they got to get their overall wins up. Conference USA wins, that's all they have left. I get it, but they could lose out on tiebreakers just with overall. So if they can stay the course and just be at least 2 games better than Delaware, you know, the rest of the way, they're solid. For New Mexico State, this game is huge. If they can get this one over New Mexico State, you'll have swept the right now as it stands, the two teams at the bottom of Conference USA, and you'll have that tiebreaker. So for the Miners, they do have one less overall win than New Mexico State, so that game is going to be huge. And then as far as Delaware goes, they're 8-16, UTEP 10-16. So that's what I'm looking at. Just don't do worse than those guys.
Zay, I'm looking at a lot of Liberty tweets right now. They are so excited to sweep the week and sweep the series against the Miners right now. Going back to this one, is Liberty beatable in the CUSA tournament, something that Chris from Inspo Lens just posed earlier before we started here. Can UTEP hang in and actually finish a game against Liberty? And then moreover, how do you see these next couple games?
I think they can. I think they can. I mean, look, they were down two with under a minute and a half left, right? That's in. You're in there. You hung around. You gave yourself an opportunity, and you didn't take it, right? You couldn't get a stop defensively. I mean, like I said, they're a good team. They hit tough shots. I mean, that was a tough last second. I mean, that whole final 3 minutes for Liberty, I mean, they really did tighten up offensively. But if they go cold like they did today, I mean, they started off 1-10. That's why UTEP was up 25-15 at that point. And to say that, they should have been up by more. Like, there was a lot of missed opportunities. They had they had 9 turnovers in that first half alone. Like, if you cut those turnovers out, if you play a bit of a cleaner first half, you could have been up by even more than that, So you have to take advantage of it. You got to play perfect, but they're beatable. They're beatable. They almost lost to NMSU. They won on a game winner that, Cleveland hits that one. And then today, they have trouble with UTEP. Those are two teams at the bottom of Conference USA, and I know this road trip is tough, but I think that goes to show they're beatable.
Your thoughts on the next three games and then closing out the season?
Yeah, I mean, I was taking a look at that schedule earlier. It's tough, right? It's tough. There's no way around it. That NMSU game, like Sal said, they're at the bottom of the conference, but it's NMSU. It's the Pan American Center. I mean, before last year, you hadn't won there in forever. So to say that you're going to go in and they're not going to be favorites, right? UTEP's going to be underdogs no matter what. They're going to have to fight against a good Aggie team that gave them trouble in the Haskins Center. I mean, they're going to be ready. It was an overtime win for UTEP. NMSU is going to be ready for that. It's going to be packed. It's a tough game, right? You almost would rather play Liberty than play NMSU in the Pan American Center with these type of things on the line. So UTEP's going to have to, they're going to have to find a way. They're going to have to find a way, and they're going to have to pull off some upsets.
This was from Hunter earlier today. This is all on Joe Golding. Pathetic. Horton should never see the court. Don't know why he insists on playing him. They were rolling. He goes in and 13-0 run by Liberty. He's a liability on both ends. All on Joe Golding. David Corral Jr. Miners need to stay focused. Sloppy play led to the late deficit in this game. Rick Rivers, Horton needs to be pulled out of this game. That was actually during the game that he sent me that. Snappy, look at the crowd. It's empty against the first place team. Most will be happy to play Mountain West teams. I'd imagine same for Liberty fans. Bye bye. This is from Box Score Boy. Thought when Colin Porter missed the long three after UTEP played great defense and the Miners got the rebound and they were called for a ridiculous foul, that play ended all hope. Extended the Liberty lead to 4-5 and the Miners were on full tilt as far as composure. Chris, did UTEP get any calls in the last 3 or 4 minutes? Everything was getting called for Liberty. It was absolutely ridiculous. This was from Shannon. Has anyone ever seen Matheny and Wayne Rooney in the same room at the same time? Okay, good stuff. I like it. Good stuff from some of our listeners right there. Hunter is probably hearing his call right there on Twitter and X, and he called into the program. He's now with us here on Minor Talk, 915-505-6009. Hunter, good afternoon. I love the jacket you sent me off air, and Miners get a big loss after this one here today. Or it feels like a big loss because the moment was big here in this one. An ESPN game that 3,900 fans went to at the Haskins Center. Your takeaways?
What's new? That's par for the course for UTEP, right? Anytime they get some momentum, big game coming in, you lose it. But, I mean, I don't think anybody can argue. Do you think they played poorly? I don't.
No, I mean, they were in the game with a minute 30. They didn't play poorly. Yeah. They were right there. They just couldn't close out the game.
Yeah, I mean, they lost to a better coached team. It's that simple. They didn't give it away. They didn't lay an egg. They played tough. They did what they had to do, and the better team came out on top, as they should, right?
You have the same exact tone as us. It's like ho-hum because this one, you know, it's kind of a rivalry, almost a rivalry, but it feels like if they got this one, you know, UTEP would have been in a much better place, and then maybe we could talk about righting some of the wrongs that happened this year.
But, you know, Liberty is the only team, and I trust me, I hate Liberty. Just the looks on their players' faces, man, I hate Liberty. But anyway, they're the only team that's a legit basketball team in this conference. They're not an amazing team. They're the only legitimate basketball team. So all things being equal, things don't change, man. Coaching wins and loses games the last 5 minutes, and we got out-coached. I mean, do you guys keep percentages by half? What was Liberty's shooting percentage for the second half?
Yeah, second half shooting for Liberty in this one, 57% from the floor, 40% from the perimeter. 6 made three-pointers in the second half.
You're not going to win games. You know, UTEP's offense didn't do bad. They went at it, you know what I mean? They were efficient, I think. I mean, just like my ex comment and some of the others, that run killed them to end the first half. Literally took the air out of the arena when they were riding high. That run is 100% on Joe Golding. He started it by putting that loser Horton in there, who gets lost on defense, who turned the ball over almost immediately, who didn't box out for a rebound. He did nothing good. He brings no value to this team. And how do you, in any world, justify him getting a single second of playing time over people like L.A. Hayes and Cassius Brooks? I don't know. Can you explain that one to me?
Horton, I mean, Cassius Brooks played some great minutes. I think, you know, I'm late to the beachfront island on Cassius Brooks Island, but I'm getting in. I'm buying into him after today. He played really well.
He brings it every day. You know, he's a poor guy's undersized as can be, but, man, he brings it. Like, the team they feed off his energy. He battles on both ends. You know, West just didn't have it today. I don't know what it was. He wasn't rebounding. He wasn't getting after it. I don't care about the points. You know, somebody's going to always step up on this team. And today I was happy to see was KJ Thomas, right? When's the first time he's done? He had 9 points in the first half. It was awesome. But the consistency, you know, as soon as Horton went in there and that 13-1 run ended, Golding started that run, and he did nothing to stop it, and they just picked up right where they left off that second half, man. So I know back in the day, man, in the old WAC, not the more modern WAC, in the old WAC, every team was tough, and this was every game. I didn't care if you're playing Wyoming, New Mexico, Utah, whoever it was tough, and it came down to the better coached team. And that's what this game reminded me of. It was a tough game. Both teams were throwing jabs. And McKay's just a superior coach over Golding. I mean, he put on a clinic in that second half, and that was a result of it. But UTEP played tough. They didn't lay an egg. And they'll probably they'll win 2 out of their last 5 here to finish off season.
All right, man. Hey, Hunter, great job on your phone call. Thanks for weighing in here on the program with us. As we continue, 915-505-6009. I thought that was a really good point. I just want to touch on that last point that Hunter brought up because I thought it was a really good one to reference those former WAC teams. Look at the Mountain West Plus right now as it stands. New Mexico, 9-6. Nevada, 17-7. Grand Canyon, 15-9. These teams right here, top 70 right now in KenPom. All those teams right there. UNLV, 13-12. They're not bad. They're not terrible. You also look at Wyoming, 13-11. They're ranked 100 right now, and they're 4-9 in the Mountain West. San Jose and Air Force are the only bad teams right now who are much worse than everybody else in the Mountain West. San Jose at 6-18, and then Air Force 3-21. And so as far as UC Davis goes, they're pretty good this year, 15-10. They'll be joining the Mountain West as a Mountain West-only school next year, a basketball-only school next year. So the next edition of the Mountain West looks really good. I mean, Zay, like, UTEP elevating to that next level and Hunter saying, hey, that's what it's going to look like night in, night out. That's going to be – you're going to have some endurance to go through the Mountain West schedule on the basketball side of things next year.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I like to call it is it's going to be good college basketball. Like, you know, that's the perfect way to put it. I mean, Hunter said it, right? In the old WAC, it was – night in and night out, doesn't matter who you're playing, it's going to be a battle. And you see that a little bit in Conference USA, but in Conference USA, it's because everybody's kind of, you know, meh. Everybody's kind of meh outside of Liberty. Like, in the new Mountain West Plus, you name those teams off. Those are good programs, right? UNLV, they're kind of the UTEP of the now Mountain West. I mean, they're trying to hold on to history from the 80s. You know, Jerry Tarkanian, right? The Renton Rebels.
There you go.
They're a program that's, you know, they're a sleeping giant. They're in one of the biggest cities in the nation. They have NIL for days. They just got a new head coach. They're going to turn things around. UNM has figured it out these past couple of years. I mean, I'm excited for this. It's going to be good college basketball. And for UTEP, that just means that you're going to have to step it up a whole lot, right? You're basically playing, you know, a lot of liberties come, you know, next year. You're going to have to go down to the Pit. That's one of the toughest places to play in the country. You know, you're going to have to go to Las Vegas. You're going to have to go to UC Davis. You're going to have to go all these different places. Grand Canyon, you know, that's one of the toughest places to play as well. So you have the regional rivalries. You're going to have some fan support. I'm excited, but I'm a little, you know, cautiously. This is going to be tough. You know, you got to be so much better.
Sal, I hate doing this, but I have to do it, okay? Last five games for Corey Camper, okay? 20 points against New Mexico in its 80-73 loss. 8 against Grand Canyon, 66-60 overtime win. Didn't play good in that one, but get these numbers. 32 points, 89-76 win against UNLV. 35 points, 91-87 overtime loss to Boise State. 15 points, 69-59 win against Fresno State. Corey Camper Jr. is averaging almost 18 a game for the Nevada Wolfpack, which right now are 17-7 in third place in the Mountain West. There you go.
No, he's extremely efficient this year. I mean, just kind of going through the numbers, right? 19 games that he started this year. He's getting 7 more points, and just kind of looking at the differences here. As far as 3-point shooting goes, he's shooting at a better clip as well, jumping up from 33 threes across the board, 33.3 with UTEP, all the way to a whopping 40. Let's round it up, 44.8, basically 45. And he's taking almost twice as many threes, and he's making more than twice as many threes. So that's definitely helping. But what's the secret sauce for this one, Adrian? He's doing it in less minutes as well with Nevada. Is it the depth? Is it the system? Who knows? But, I mean, these guys just kind of get to fly free, you know, whenever they transfer away from UTEP and get to use that offensive prowess that we hear about, you know, when they're recruited here.
Yeah, and maybe another argument is, like, he was due to make a jump either way. His final year, who knows? But here are the David Terrell Jr. numbers. And by the way, just to be fair, I mean, Devon Barnes is at Ball State playing a lot of games for a team that's really bad at Ball State. And then Ahmad Bynum is in JUCO. So there's some other, you know, just to be fair for everybody who's going out in the recent transfer portal. David Terrell Jr., 12 points a game, 5 assists per game. He's shooting 44% from the floor. Not a great three-point shooter or season this year, 27% from the perimeter, but definitely killing it right now. And his North Texas Mean Green right now, they are 14-11. Zay, any thoughts on Camper or Terrell?
Well, you know what I'm going to say, right? Like, these guys, you kind of always knew they had it. You kind of always knew that they could play at another level. And just don't take them for granted, right? Don't take guys for granted.
They just beat Memphis this week.
Yep. You know, and Memphis, they're all right. They're all right this year. They're not the Memphis of the past couple of years. Penny Hardaway, he's got to figure that out. But, I mean, you need a point guard. David Terrell, Corey Camper, they fit great on this team, you know? So, not much to say, you know. Not much. I have no words to say. Because once I start saying them, It'll just make me sad.
I hear you. Let's go to Jacob, who's joining us next on Minor Talk. 915-505-6009-600 ESPN El Paso. Twitter next. Liberty defeats UTEP 73-64. We're presented by Jack in the Box, also presented by Thomas Adams Apparel. I'm rocking the Texas Thomas Adams Apparel hat here today. Shout out to Thomas Adams Apparel. We'll have the Minor Talk hats here available soon enough. Going to the phones, Jacob is next with us. Jacob, what's going on, man?
Hey, Adrian, you know, I feel like UTEP, they came out and played the whole first half. You know, they were scoring. KJ Thomas came out and scored a lot of buckets. But I feel like that run, like the final 5 minutes, really killed them. And that momentum for Liberty carried into the second half. And, you know, once Matheny and the other white guy, once they get hot, that's when it's over. And it feels like we couldn't guard the three at all in the second half. But I feel like this is one of their best games all season. They scored. We haven't seen that a lot. And I feel like this year we have some shooters, and Kasim Watson hit some big shots down the stretch. But, you know, I wasn't really disappointed with them, and hopefully they could play like this the last couple of games.
Jacob, we've missed you all season, man. I missed hearing your voice, so it's good that you're calling after this one. Were you like us, kind of? You sound the same as us, kind of the tone a little deflated. Were you pretty excited for this one going into it, thinking the Miners had a chance?
Yeah, after that two-game winning streak and then the NMSU win, you know, I thought they were going to come out and maybe pull out a good win, but at halftime, I was like, you know what, we might end their big streak, but it's just kind of sad, but it's all right.
All right, good job, Jacob. I appreciate your phone call. Thank you, man. Thanks for calling in. We got to get you back on, so give us a call back after more of these UTEP games. All right, man, you always bring some good takes. Appreciate Jacob here on the program. The voice is deepening, man. Hey, that tells you that he's getting older, wiser, but UTEP's still losing, unfortunately.
Hey, recruiting process is out there. This guy probably grew like, what, 5 feet, you know, over the winter. NIL coming soon for Jacob, so can't wait to see him out there.
Good stuff. A couple comments coming in. I asked, how do we feel about the UTEP Liberty series pretty much being over after today, right? Like, maybe they find themselves in the Conference USA tournament, but the reality is they might not. This might be it for UTEP versus Liberty right here. This is probably how it ends. If, you know, maybe they find themselves in the CUSA tournament, which, by the way, would be crazy that it would stack up that way. They've faced each other in 24, in 25, and if they face each other this year in 2026, like, that would be insane in itself. But, you know, I asked the question, you know, what are you kind of thinking about in terms of the Liberty series. Sidelines, our pal Kevin said, best of luck to the Flames, but we shouldn't have to be playing a team in Lynchburg, Virginia as a conference game. My son said, who cares, honestly? And then, you know, Blister Fister said, no more ass whoopings, at least. Man, what are your thoughts, Sal, when I say it might be over for the Liberty series?
I think it's over as far as an annual series. I think that's guaranteed. The fun just took place in conference, and I think that's why it was so cool, because I'm trying to think about how these two teams would meet up, you know, at some point in time in the future. And the only thing I can think of is, like, it's good for UTEP if they play Liberty again, because Liberty might be hard to get a hold of. It's hard to say. It's hard to have Liberty calling you. I think you're the one calling Liberty, right? Like, hey, we have this awesome tournament at the Don. Like, they're not going to come to the Donna Haskins tournament. Are you serious? There's no way. The only way they're going to play Liberty again is if they're in a tournament setting. Or let's say it's like, and I'm talking about like postseason conference, you would say, you know, maybe the NIT or whatever the case is, but maybe a preseason one, and we're thinking like Battle for Atlantis or something like that. But if that's the case, that means you're doing something good. So if you want to play them again, you got to start winning more. I don't know if they're going to be picking up the phone. And it's not just the UTEP thing. I think it's a lot of Conference USA things. There's no way they would be playing Middle Tennessee on an annual basis. No way they'd be playing Sam Houston on an annual basis. Like, who knows how long they're even going to be in Conference USA for. So if they play him again, I think it's because UTEP's doing something right.
Yeah, to that point, Zay, I'm thinking to myself, like, the next conference for Liberty feels like the ACC, but maybe it's the American, or maybe it's CUSA because they like being the big fish in the small pond. But whenever they leave CUSA, this conference will crater. This conference hangs so much on the likes of Liberty, and it's because of their success. But they're kind of the big fish in this small pond right here in CUSA right now. And, you know, to that final point right there, maybe you see them in the Frisco Bowl and a down here for football, and you have to wait till a postseason football game to see the Flames again.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you this. I don't think UTEP will be calling Liberty either. I can guarantee you Joe Golding is not going to get on the phone and ask
request me. That game, right?
Yeah, you know, and the funny thing is, Joe Golding said, I was watching the ESPN Plus interview after their Jacksonville State win, he said, it's a great place to play. We're never playing here again. He specifically said that on the interview, and I laughed. He you know, it's true. Like, why would UTEP ever do a home-and-home with, like, a Jacksonville State again?
Or a Liberty.
Or a Liberty. Or a Middle Tennessee, like Sal said. Like, there's really no point. Unless, you know, something drastic happens to this program where, you know, they either become really, really good that you can just buy a game like Middle Tennessee, or they become really, really bad where Middle Tennessee will buy a UTEP game. So, you know, unless something drastic happens, I guarantee you no more Liberty games, unless, of course, it's like a preseason tournament.
You know, it's fitting that all this happened here for this one right here. And if this is the end for Liberty right here, I think people will go down just remembering this trio of Zach Cleveland, Caden Matheny, Colin Porter, and being kind of that face of hatred, face of whatever you want to say. But regardless, appreciate that. Hey, long overdue, but let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600. ESPN El Paso. All right, we're back. 915-505-6009, presented by Jack in the Box, live on Inspo Lens, along with Zay, Sal, Eric, and Chris. I'm Adrian. We are here in our River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios. Liberty defeats UTEP 73-64. As we kind of wind down the show, and I get it, look, it's a working class town. It's a town that is so busy on Saturdays. Getting people out for a noon tip-off is difficult. 7 o'clock may have been easier, but it's also Valentine's Day, so you get it. Like, it's a tough one. I'm turning the page. Next week at the Pan Am Center, wonder if fans will go. I mean, that could be another kind of, you know, thought to kind of muster up here in a little bit. But before we preview the next couple games here for the Miners, I just want to go on a quick UTEP football rant, because yesterday we heard the news about defensive coordinator Bobby Daly going back to Missouri State, which I was just shocked about. Like I had no clue it would happen. The second question that we asked head coach Scotty Walden when he was in the house earlier this week was from Steve asking no more staff changes. And he was saying, yeah, there's not going to be any expected changes, although it could change on a daily basis. It changed in less than 24 hours. I mean, Daly ends up going back to Missouri State. And here's your coaching UTEP coaching departures, courtesy of our pal, some guy, Chris. Offensive coordinator, Mark Kalla. Defensive coordinator, Bobby Daly. Offensive line coach, Ryan Stanchek. Tight ends coach, Josh Ergel. Cornerbacks coach, Aaron Foster. Bandits coach, Seth McDonald. Running backs coach, Jordan McNeil. Linebackers coach, Brandon Butcher. DBs coach, Cade Glenn. Strength coach, Chris Campbell. GM, Gio Giolotti. A complete reset, Sal, for football from top to bottom. Staff, completely new staff here for this spring.
Yeah, and who knows what the team is going to look like as well, right? Right after the spring of football games. So who knows what's going to be learned, how much is going to be retained, what's all going to be new. But what I really want to see is, like, how are they playing that third game of the season, that fourth game of the season with the new staff? Like, I think that's a respectable amount of time to kind of see, you know, what a team is shaping up to be. And basically, if we're seeing the same thing that we saw the first couple of years, then it doesn't even matter what coordinators there are.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. Zay, any thoughts on the coordinator, unexpected coordinator change that we heard?
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, Montana State, they just won an FCS championship. He coached there before. And, you know, it's tough, right?
But it's Montana State. Like, I know it's his spot, but it's Montana State. That's right. That's crazy.
It's crazy to me that it happened so late. Like, it happened so late. This is so late in the cycle, you know, but that's the way these things go. You can't dwell on it. You know, they moved quickly, right? They already got a new defensive coordinator. And, you know, UTEP's defense was good this year. But you guys know me. I wasn't a huge fan of it. I thought they were overrated, so...
You don't think it's that big of a loss?
Yeah, I don't think it's that big.
You'd rather them kind of hit a reset, hard reset right now.
Yeah, I mean, Montana State, you know, they were all right last year. I mean, 2 years ago. And last year, you know, without Bobby Daly, they won a FCS championship, so...
Well, were you... Okay, I hear what you're... Tongue-in-cheek right there. I get your tone. But here's my other question to you. Were you cool with the promotion of who they made? Kyle Bayer, who's their DC now, who was the DC at Indiana Wesleyan in 2022 and the linebackers coach for UTEP, moving up from special teams coordinator and linebackers coach, which, by the way, I thought it was Joe Popolardo who was the special teams coordinator. But regardless, Kyle Bayer, the next DC for UTEP.
Yeah, I mean, look, you don't have many options, right?
Kelvin Sigler, that was my thought. It's like he was a defensive coordinator in the past for Jack State.
Yeah, and I think he still has that co-defense coordinator role. So, yeah, I think I didn't even think of Kelvin Sigler. That does make sense, but I just like that they moved quickly out of all the options, right?
I guess you just had to name somebody, right?
Yeah, you had to go fast. So I think it won't be a huge change. I think that the responsibilities that they'll have will stay relatively the same, and I think I'm not worried about that defense. That's what I'm saying here, is I'm not worried about the defense with or without, you know, Coach Daly. I think this is the best group on the team, so I'm more worried about the offense.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Jason Craig's back with us. Liberty defeats UTEP 73-64. Jason Craig, welcome back. The final game against Liberty.
I lied, Adrian. I lied. I said I wasn't going to call. I lied.
You called in, and you're on your way to Albuquerque, so safe travels up there, my man. But give me your thoughts. What compelled you to call in despite you saying you would not call in?
Well, you said, you know, are we going to travel up to Las Cruces, you know, to watch them play in the Pan Am? And I really think that we should, man, as a community for El Paso. Do it for, you know, the Miners. Like, we really got to go in there and just make some noise. Like, take over. Like, just really take over for the last time. Man, I'm really sick and tired of Conference USA. Like, I'm sick and tired of it. Let's go in there. Let's go ahead, take a W. And, hey, we don't want to see you guys ever again. Like, honestly. You know what I mean? If we get a little couple of preseason games here and there, here, let's have those. But I'm done. Conference USA completely. I want to go out with a bang, go to Pan Am, get a W, and, you know, hopefully get in this conference, do a little bit of damage in the conference, maybe, probably not, I don't know, but, like, I'm done with this conference, like, 100%.
Yeah, I can't stand the conference refs, that's for sure. And as far as it being exposed on ESPN2 today, I mean, maybe that's a good thing. Jason, I like the message. I like the PSA. I appreciate your phone call, my man. Good energy today. And as far as Liberty, I don't want to see them again. I don't want to see CUSA teams again. I'm pretty much with you 100% on that. 915-505-6009, our good pal Jason Craig, who's joining us here on the show as well. Guys, let's preview the New Mexico State game and let's wrap it up here on the program. We've got some NBA All-Star Weekend to get to here later on this afternoon on 600 ESPN El Paso. New Mexico State on deck. The Aggies are 11-13. They are 4-10 in conference play. They lost to Liberty this week as well. They have Jacksonville State tonight. It's a big game for them on the road. Then it's a home game for them against UTEP. Then they go on the road against Western and Middle. Aggies need this, like, absolute desperation must-win game. As it stands right now, New Mexico State is the worst team in Conference USA. They're 4-10. FIU is 5-9. Delaware is 5-9. UTEP right now, 6-9. So two games separate the Miners and the Aggies. UTEP losing today is a big thing for New Mexico State, by the way, guys. Let's preview this. Zay, give me your final thoughts after today. Liberty defeats UTEP 73. Actually, let me swing it to Eric. I'm going to get Eric in first. Eric, you give me your final thoughts on today, and then give me your thoughts leading into the Battle of I-10 next week as the Miners have a pivotal game against the Aggies. They can't afford a loss in that one.
In terms of today, thank goodness I don't have to see these three players anymore. Thank goodness that they're out of our hair, that they're out of Conference USA forever. Thank goodness I don't have to see Liberty anytime soon. I'm just like everybody, can't stand Liberty. Can't stand the fan base. I can't stand anything about Liberty. I just hate them. Glad we're getting out of here. Glad I don't got to see them no more. In terms of next week, I mean, it's both UTEP and New Mexico State. It's a big game for them. NMSU, if they want to potentially make the CUSA tournament, they need to start winning, and they need to keep it up. For UTEP, look, NMSU played them tough when they were down here. It's not going to be any easier, us going over there to the Pan American Center. It's not going to be any easier. We need to figure out how to get a victory out there, because these next two games after that is also not going to be easy. So it's a tough game for both teams. I think UTEP gets it done, though. Call me crazy. Okay. I think they get it done.
Okay. Zay, preview this game, and then give me any final thoughts you have for Liberty and the Miners, and then what's ahead here for UTEP.
Yeah, I mean, look, I talked about it earlier. That's the toughest game that you're going to have in conference play, I think, right? Outside of going to Liberty, going to New Mexico State and pulling out a win is hard. It's a hard thing to do, and I'm shocked UTEP did it last year, right?
Me too.
You know, and you go from the best team in Conference USA, from playing the best team in Conference USA, to, you know, statistically you're playing the worst team. But it doesn't feel like that, man. This feels like you got one giant to slay, now you got to go to another, right? That's how this conference is, and once again, rivalry game, it's going to be tough, hostile environment. Can this team do it? I mean, this is... Look, we had plenty of callers last time saying, hey, NMSU's not good. We shouldn't, you know, this and the third. This is not a big, huge win. If UTEP can pull off the sweep, like, I don't care who they're playing, whenever they're playing. If they're playing NMSU, they've owned the Miners, you know, since 2010, right? 2010 on, NMSU has owned the Miners in Las Cruces. It's a rivalry game. I think them beating NMSU would be almost, not as big, but it would be almost as big as if UTEP pulled off this win today. Like, that's how good I think UTEP would be having to go into Las Cruces, into the Pan American Center, and pulling out a win. So I don't see it happening. You know, it would be the first UTEP sweep in who knows how long. It would be three straight against the Aggies for who knows how long. And I don't think they have it in them. But we'll see, you know?
Man, you're saying no. You say NMSU wins this one. Tight game? What's the type of game, in your opinion?
I think it'll be a tight game. I think, you know, it'll go similar to what happened in at the Haskins Center. And
okay.
I just think that they're going to have more juice down the end. You know, they're going to have more will, right? It's hard to beat a team twice. It's definitely hard to beat a team twice in a matter of what? It'll be 2 weeks. You know, these teams just played each other. So, yeah, I think that Hoon's going to figure it out. They need this win. He needs this win. Like, he needs this more than Joe. So they're gonna throw everything at him. And
can you imagine those fans, if they don't win this one, they're going to be livid.
Yeah, so I think NMSU takes it.
Okay. Sal, let's preview New Mexico State. Talk a little Liberty as well with us as we wrap up today's show. And the Flames win by 9. It didn't feel like a 9-point game. Felt like very close down the stretch. You got to give credit to UTEP for hanging in the way that they did. But can the Miners pull it off on the road in a must-win game here next week?
Can they? I think they can. It's just a matter of will they. And are the lights going to be too bright? Here at home, we could be honest, man. They kind of got they got some home cooking against New Mexico State, and that helped. It didn't give them the win, but it helped propel them to it. And the same thing when the Miners are on the road, too. Some other teams get the calls. That could just be the kind of game it is. And I think it is going to be tough. New Mexico State's played Liberty twice, and both of those games for the Aggies come in heartbreak. I mean, looking at the first game, 73-71.
Oh,
right,
man.
Over there in Lynchburg. And after that, the Aggies, you know, they bounced back with the 97-68 win. So, you know, kind of going over here to the more recent one, they lose off a bank shot from Cleveland, 77-75. And you go right before that when they played the Miners, they lose by 3. Right before that, they beat La Tech. So, I mean, say what you want. Yeah, they've lost 2 out of their last 3, but they're playing better. You know what I mean? They're having chances. And for New Mexico State, it's a huge game against Jacksonville State. They don't get a break either, right? They're on the road over there in Jacksonville, Alabama. So we'll see what happens to that one. However, there's just a lot of bad blood between these two teams. I think New Mexico State just gets it. It's one of those series where, you know, sometimes the home team's just going to win this one for who knows how long.
You made me think, do we see another fight?
If the last one was a fight, if that's what we're going to call it.
Or let's say bench is clear. Do we see bench is clear again?
I want to see punches thrown, man. I want blood on the field, out there on the court. That's what I want. Come on, guys. Bring it back. Hey, New Mexico State, UTEP is leaving your conference because they think they're better than you. Are you going to accept that or you want to throw something? Hey, UTEP, New Mexico State's mad because, you know, they cried when they lost in overtime. You're going to make them cry again? I want to see that. Come on.
Zay, any thoughts?
I mean, come on, guys. Of course. Let's see. Come on, man. I mean, man, I was scrolling on Twitter, and this popped up. St. John's, Providence, Bryce Hopkins. If you follow that, he knows he was a star at Providence. He ends up transferring out to St. John's. Yeah. In his return game, bench is clearing, fight, and I got to hear the announcers. Oh, this is terrible. We hate to see this. Like, come on, guys. Don't lie to yourself. You know, come on. That got me out of my seat, man. Everybody in the crowd is cheering and everything. And these announcers, you hate to see this, man. We need to clear this up. Like, no, right? Like, I like the fun stuff in games. I don't know if you guys are watching the Super Bowl. Like, there was the streaker, and then they were like idiots on the field. Like, no, bro. Like, show me the streaker, man. Let's see this, man. Like,
it's the most interesting part of the game.
Yeah, it's the part that everybody likes. Come on, man. As far as entertainment goes, we like the not normal stuff, Zay. We like that at times.
Yeah, you know, and it's a rivalry game. I want it to feel like it. Like, you guys can dap up behind the cameras, like at least put on a show for the fans. Like, it's a rivalry game. I don't want to see you guys hugging it out. No, no, no. Like, for 40 minutes, I hope these guys hate each other. Like, that's what it should be. That's what a rivalry game is. That's what any game should be, but especially this one. It makes it fun. It makes the stakes fun. I mean, these schools are separated by 45 minutes. These fans don't like each other. These programs, hypothetically on paper, really shouldn't like each other. And I know it's all respect at the end of the day, but let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun. Let's watch a good one. I'm excited about it. It's right around the corner. Battle of I-10, part 2 in a pivotal matchup between the Aggies and the Miners. But that'll do it for us here today. My final thoughts on Liberty, you know, that's how it goes. It's just how it goes. Miners had 8 matchups against them in 2.5 years. I think they had chances to win more than they actually did. I like the buildup going into this week. I like the fact that the Miners were playing with a little bit of momentum. In the first half, I was thinking they really have a chance. Second half rolled around. They fought back and, you know, gave themselves a chance, and the Flames are just too much. Can they exhaust the Flames in the Conference USA tournament? I don't know. You got to destroy the Flames to beat them. You have to just, like, beat them by 10 or something in order to make it happen.
The thing, though, with Liberty, too, I mean, as good as they've been in this conference, right, you can't get any better than 14-0, but they've had some close calls,
yes.
Adrian, and against some teams who are not that solid. I mean, Florida International, somewhere in the bottom of this conference, they almost got the win. For Liberty, they pull it out 97-94, just kind of going down the list. New Mexico State, we mentioned those two games. They won by 2, so that's 3. And then I know there was another one. Missouri State, a newcomer in Conference USA. I know Liberty was a newcomer, 3 years ago or something like that, but this is a team with a track record. I can't remember all the teams, but I'm just going to name some teams. Houston, maybe Duke, somewhere along the lines of that. In the Richie McKay tenure, I believe, or somewhere in the last 10 years or so, nobody's won more games than that bunch of teams. And these are perennial Sweet 16, Elite 8, even Final Four teams. You know, and I'm not saying they've made it that far, but that's just the company that Liberty is. So they're very lucky they're in Conference A this year, as solid as they are. You know, they can definitely get tripped up in the tournament by anybody.
Yeah, I think they're vulnerable. I think what you talked me into it. They're a vulnerable team. there are some close games. They were on the wire here today. They were on the wire against New Mexico State. They're vulnerable. They're just winning some good games, and they're pulling it out in positive manners. Hey, as far as next week go, I have the Miners. I'll disagree, and I'll say I'll take UTEP in this one. I just think that the Miners can get it done on the road, and they'll have a whole week to prepare. Maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe you want to be in a more of a regular routine where you're playing Thursday, Saturdays, or Wednesday, Saturdays. But regardless, it'll be a nice break for the Miners and get an opportunity to play the Aggies with a 6-day rest or a 7-day rest, I should say.
And the same thing for the Aggies, too. After this game against Jax, it's UTEP right up next for them. So,
going to be
perfect.
Good. I'm looking forward to it, man. Liberty today defeats UTEP 73-64. A special thanks to everybody here, all in our entire crew here on Miner Talk. Sal Montes for producing the show, screening the phone calls, co-hosting here on Miner Talk. Zay Galindo, co-host here on Miner Talk as well, was at the game taking photos as well. Eric Reyes, King Eric with us, our spring intern. Chris Collins from Inspo Lens, and everybody for watching us here on the program as we wind up here, Miner Talk. Special thanks to Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor, along with Thomas Adams Apparel, who's our sponsor for our awesome Miner Talk hats as well. For everybody in the crew here, happy Valentine's Day to all our listeners. We'll be back in action next Saturday for the Battle of I-10. Today, Liberty defeats UTEP 73-64. Next week, we'll be back in action for UTEP, New Mexico State. So long, and thanks for listening to us here on Miner Talk, presented by Jack in the Box, here on 600 ESPN El Paso.